Sam, thank you, and you did a great job with that song. And you know, the theme of that song is wonderful, isn't it? God is so good. And how thankful this morning that we serve a wonderful and good God in heaven. You know, about a month ago when the war in Iran started, we know that one of the planes had to eject two of the pilots. And one of them was hidden in a cave, actually, a crevice in a mountain, until he could be rescued. But you know, when he was rescued, his first words were these: God is so good. You know, I thought in my lifetime, isn't God good? Amen? Come on. Amen. Yeah, amen. God is good. He is good in every way possible. Not only to a young man who awaits the rescue, but God is good all the time. He is. He's good sometimes when we end up blaming God. Have you ever noticed how much blame God gets for a lot of things in life? Somebody can die. Someone blames God for the death, maybe of a child, or the death of a husband or a wife, or maybe an acquaintance. But the devil is the author of disease and death, not our God. We rest our faith, our hope, and our love upon the God of heaven. And He is so good. He is. You know, we ought to be a people that reach out to other people. And, you know, a lot of times we talk about how God is good to us, but how good is God to others through the instrumentality of your actions and what you do in life? Are you sincere when you say that you love God and you begin to extol the great virtues of our God? Doing good does you good, doesn't it? You know, when you do something for someone else in life, doesn't it make you feel good? It does to me. And you know what? I'm sure God feels that same way. That when He does something for the human race, it warms the heart of our God who is in heaven. You know, it's amazing how God created man, isn't it? And how we go back to the dust of the ground and then we're resurrected. Someone said when a bird is alive, it eats ants. And when the bird is dead, the ants eat the bird. Time and circumstances can change at any time. Don't devalue or hurt anyone in this life. Be good. Don't we say that to our children all the time? Be good. Don't be ugly, but be good. You may be powerful today, but remember, there is more powerful than you. 1 tree, think about it, makes a million matches or little sticks. And one matchstick needed to burn down an entire forest. It's amazing how we use our blessings. You know, all of us are blessed. How many of you feel blessed this morning by God? I hope you all do. I read a story the other day, and it was kind of a humorous story, but it was about a husband and a wife who were out shopping, and they agreed to meet up at a certain place and time. You've been there. You know what I'm talking about. But the husband wasn't there when he should have been, and his wife became extremely cross and upset. I mean, she just got worse and vividly mad and angry at her husband. But she decided to call him on her mobile phone. And she said, "I've been waiting here for 20 minutes. Where in the world are you?" And the husband said, "Darling, I'm sorry. You remember that jewelry shop where you fell in love with that diamond necklace? And I said, well, I couldn't afford to buy it for you, but I'll do it one day." His wife replied, "Oh, yes, sweetie, I remember." And the husband said, "Well, I'm in the Bass Pro Shop right next door." That's not the kind of husband you want, is it? In Psalms 14 and 3, the Bible says, "But no, all have turned away, and all have become corrupt, and no one does good, not a single one." I'm thankful today that there's a lot of good and great things going on in this country and going on in America. I am thankful that I live in the greatest country in all the world. Amen?
Amen.
It is great. It is. And we ought to be thankful. And the pilot was right when he said, "God is good. For there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not." And that's precisely what Paul wrote in the book of Romans 3 and verse 23. "That all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all sinners. We all make mistakes. We all violate the will of Almighty God. But God is good. And in the book of 3 John, verse 1 and verse 11, or chapter and verse 11, "Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. For he that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God." Now, John is saying that you and I that are doing good, it is evident that we have a relationship with our Father who is in heaven. And we ought to love God because and love one another. That was what Christ actually taught. He said that we are to love God. That's the superlative commandment of our Lord. But then, secondly, we are to love our neighbor even as ourselves. In the book of Acts 10 and 38, Luke records these words. He says, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him." I want you to think about that one little statement this morning, that Jesus went about doing good, not talking about a lot of good things, not saying that we ought to act good, but he said, "Be good," just like Jesus did. He went about doing good. He didn't judge people. He didn't hate people, but he loved them. He loved his enemies, and he taught us that we are to love our enemies as well. And with the help of God, you and I can do great things in the vineyard of our Lord. We are to keep our eyes open for the Lord. We are to watch for his works. We are to be alert, the scripture says, for signs of his presence, Psalms 105 and verse 4. You know, everywhere in today's world, you see God moving and God working and doing good things. Sometimes we think God is a tyrant. He is waiting up in the heavens, and he's waiting for us to miss the mark or to sin where he can bring judgment against us. That is not the God that I serve. But I serve a loving God. I serve a God who reaches out to all of us. Sometimes we have to make concessions in life with people. You know, what is the definition of concede? It is, first of all, let me tell you, a transitive verb. It means to acknowledge grudgingly or hesitantly, conceded that it might be a good idea. But it means, in reality, relinquish that grudging idea or being hesitant to concede to power. Now, there are a lot of people in our world today that are hesitant to concede to the power of God. He is an all-powerful God, and we must never, ever give up in life. Jesus, in the book of Matthew 26 and 39, conceded to the will of the Father. For you remember in the garden, the night that he was betrayed, prayed unto God, and he says, "Father, if it is possible, let this cup of death pass from me, but not as I will, but as thou wilt." And that is exactly what he did. The cup of death did not pass from him, but he died upon the cross. That's the goodness of God, Romans 2. I want to share some things with you this morning about the goodness of God. You know, when you think about Jesus and you think about how good he is, people were at the center of his ministry. It was not about him, but it was about other people. Everywhere Jesus went, he reached out to open the eyes of those that were blind. He reached into the spirit world and even called people back from the dead. John chapter 11. He could touch those that could not hear and give them the ability to hear the word of God and maybe to hear a loved one say, "I love you." That is the goodness of God. It was all about his ministry. Sometimes we forget that you and I have a ministry, every one of us. We don't have just one minister in this church. You and I are all ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul mentioned that we're all ministers. And we all have a responsibility to reach out to those that are lost. Jesus always put others before himself. How many times do we put others before ourselves? How many of us determine what we want, and we want what we want? It doesn't matter what everybody else wants. It doesn't matter what your wife wants. It doesn't matter what your husband wants, or your children, or other members of the body of Christ. It is all about me. No, not according to what Christ said. For in John 20, 27 and 28, Jesus said, "Whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave." Now, the King James Version says, "Let him be your servant." I get amazed sometimes at people that say they want to serve God. Well, in what capacity do you want to serve? I tell people all the time, we have a lot of places here in the Crockett Road Church of Christ where we can put you to work and where you can serve if you really want to serve. And the Bible says, Jesus speaking, "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." You know, you don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be an elder. You don't have to be a deacon to serve God. There's so many places in this church where you can serve the Almighty if you really want to serve. You see, the mission of Jesus was the fact that he reached out to those that were sick. He gave food to the hungry. He didn't judge them. In Luke 19 and verse 10, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." And he still is seeking. We were talking about that this morning in our Bible class. The goodness of God compelled him to reach out to people that were hurting, people that had diseases, people that were hungry, people that were naked. They had no clothes. They had nowhere to lay their head. We ought to say to one another, to other people, that we're on a mission for Jesus. That's what we are. And someone said, if you look at your life as a minister, you'll never have a job again. Not a job, but a ministry. And that's the way Christ saw the human race. He came into the world and shed his blood on a cross that we might go to heaven. But it was all about helping other people. You know, too many times when people are called upon, do they say, "Oh, call me, give me a call, I'd be happy to do anything." And you give them a call and they say, "Well, you know, I do that, but I'm just too busy and I'd be happy to serve. Do you have another area?" And you give them another area. "Oh, yeah, I'll be happy to serve there." And then next thing you know, they've weaseled out of that one too. How genuine are we when we say that we want to help? I've told you before that the church is the search and rescue team. That's what we were about. Just like they went and found that young man in the deserts of Iran, in a cave-like area. You know what? There are souls that are lost in our world today, and you and I must be those who are on the rescue team who go and search for lost souls. That's what the church's mission is, my friend. It's not about keeping everybody happy. The church is not a social gathering, but it is a spiritual gathering of God's people, and that's why we are here. And the church of the living God must do that. There is one that is good, and that is God. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 19. And God is good all the time. You know, it'd be wonderful if we had people rush up to us as elders, Dwight and Dale, and say, how can I help? What can I do? Sometimes it's the same people that do the same thing all the time. It is. It is. Why won't we volunteer in the kingdom? You know, we volunteer for a lot of things. Civic organizations, and I'm not running down civic organizations. I know they do a lot of good. But how much time are you investing in the kingdom of God? How much time do you give to the Lord? Jesus gave his life because God was so good. He rescued us from the jaws of hell, and we're to rescue others from eternal hell as well. We serve God by sharing his word with other people. When was the last time you talked to someone about Jesus? If you really love him, you know what? You talk about people that you love, but you talk about it in constructive, kind ways. You're not running them down. But you talk about them in kind, constructive ways and trying to help them be on target with Christ. But secondly, Jesus was willing to do the dirty jobs. And that was serving people. He rolled up his sleeves in John the 13th chapter in verse 1. And the disciples had gathered with him in that upper room, and he put a towel around his body, and he began to take a basin and wash their feet. Dirty feet. How many of us would be willing to do the dirty job? Only those who are like God, and God is good all the time. In Mark's account of the gospel, chapter 9 and verse 35, the Bible says that he sat down, called the 12, and said unto them, if anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. We got a lot of people in this church. Some of you may know it. Some of you may not know it. But we have a lot of people in this church that serve. I mean, serve without their name being up in lights or on church stationery. They do a lot to help other people. And we should be doing that as well. There are always opportunities for us to serve God in the kingdom. And I can be honest with you in telling you this morning. If you want a job in the kingdom, you really want to serve. Most people don't want to serve. No, they don't. But if you really want to serve, you really want to help, we have plenty of jobs that are available for you to work at, and I say that in kindness. Jesus was one who had such compassion like no man ever had it. He touched the sick. You know, most people don't touch the sick. If we do, we rush out of the hospital room and we put sanitizer on our hands, and we want to be real careful. But you know what? The problem is even worse than that. It's deeper than that. Is that you wash your hands of being near that person. He gets out of your heart. He leaves your heart. Jesus was not afraid. He touched the dead in Luke chapter 7. Did you know under Old Testament law, you couldn't touch the dead? It was a sin. It was a violation of law that you could not touch the dead. But Jesus reached out and he touched a lot of folks that were ill. I think about that widow's son at Nain, and they were taking him down to the cemetery. Jesus was with them, and he reached down and raised him back to life. He touched a leper in Mark 1 and verse 40, which was a no-no. You didn't touch lepers. Well, I mean, if you had leprosy, you were in a colony all by yourself over here. And if someone walked by, you had to holler, unclean, unclean. You didn't touch them. But Jesus touched a leper. And he healed him. He offered help to the helpless and to those that were hurting. But the question this morning, would you get your hands dirty for Jesus? Are there some things you just would not do? You and I must be humble before our God. That's part of goodness. Did you realize that? It's being good. It's being humble. It's not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. You are extremely important. God loves you. And all of us serve in different ways. We serve sometimes when the world is against us. The great violinist Paganini actually was in a concert one time. And he was best known for his ability to generate music and to write music. He played the violin. And he was in concert one day, and one of the strings snapped. He was playing so hard. And then another string snapped. And believe it or not, a third one. And it was so beautiful that the crowd came to their feet. And he finished the concert with one string. You know what? When you and I are down to one string, God can still use us. Good can still be done. But we must develop a servant's heart. Many will serve only if they're given credit. Isn't that unfortunate? You know, when I moved to Palestine and I was talking about civic organizations a minute ago, I attended the Lions Club and the Kiwanis Club and the Rotary Club, just about all of them. And I didn't join any of them, but I felt to myself, if I had that much time to give to civic organizations, how much time do I have to give to God? How much time do I have to give to my Lord? A servant's heart. Very few volunteer. Sometimes they have to be asked. You know, sometimes we ought to just use our vision. When we see that it needs to be done, go do it. Sometimes we won't. Very few volunteers anymore. And I remember when we first came to Palestine, what a spirit of volunteerism there was in this community. I mean, people were reaching out to help each other. It's not that way today. You look at the civic organizations, most of them have maybe 20 people when they used to have 100. God is still good. Real committed servants always step forward. They are there. Jesus always did good. He did not let obstacles get in the way. You know, sometimes we let obstacles get in the way of what we know that we ought to be doing. God is good even when life isn't fair. Kind and gentle. According to the book of Nahum in the Old Testament, chapter 1 and verse 7. People are not always fair. You know, the scripture says, Paul says, you know, that when you work for the Lord, he says, when you do things for humankind, do it as if you're working for the Lord. That's the way I look at my ministry every day. What I do for others, I'm doing for God. And didn't Jesus teach that also in Matthew 25? He said, I was hungry and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and in prison and you ministered unto me. They didn't have to be asked to serve. They didn't have to be prodded and pulled, but they said, Lord, when did you see us this way? We didn't want any accolades for what we've done. And Christ said, but because you did it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. And you see, when you serve other people, you're serving the Most High God. And when there was no way, Christ made a way. And with the help of God, we will find a way. Jesus did. He was resurrected from the tomb by God who is so good. And if you're tired of starting over, and by the way, there's nothing wrong with starting over, but stop giving up. If you really believe in Jesus, and you say you do, all of us do, are we really serving other people? We must fear God. That means to hold Him in a reverential awe. It means that we devote our life unto Him. But too many of us look for excuses not to do it. I've often thought, boy, it'd just be wonderful if the elders sometimes could just walk up to somebody and say, hey, we really need to get this done. Could you help? That somebody would say, oh, I can do it right now. I'll take that job. Very few do. An excuse is an attempt from a task or obligation to serve as an explanation that vindicates or justifies an action. That's just saying, I ain't going to do it. Great excuses. Skipping church. It's amazing how many people do that. I guess I've heard them all. Several years ago, we had a lady in our church. It's been about 30 years ago, actually. And I'd been missing her church, and I called her up and told her we'd been missing her. And she said, well, you just don't understand, preacher. I said, what do you mean? And she says, well, I have a real problem. And I said, what is it? And she says, I have a corn on my little toe. And I said, well, let me tell you something. I have a knife. I'll be right over. God says no more excuses. The idea that you don't have time is erroneous. You know it, we know it, and the God of heaven knows it. No more, I'm too tired. We all get tired. I'm not saying there aren't times when we do. But sometimes people have flimsy excuses. I have a bad knee. I'm not saying it's wrong to have a legitimate reason, but sometimes our reasons are not legitimate. But I have also learned that if it is important to you, you will find a way. If not, you will find an excuse. No ifs, ands, or buts. Stop making excuses. True help for others says when and where. I'll meet you there. I'll be there. Someone told me one time in their church, they didn't have a lot of workers, but they had a lot of shirkers. And people that make excuses. I believe the Savior's telling us, unless we lose ourselves in His work and follow His purpose, there's no hope for us. We will shrivel up. We will. the heart of Jesus. Love sent him to the cross. Our heart for Jesus ought to cause us to serve him faithfully. Every heart ought to beat for Christ, for Jesus our Lord. When will you have a change of heart and start thinking about others instead of self? James says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, that's what God is good. Him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. My friend, that is important to know. We need to unlock our life and let the Lord Jesus Christ come in. Jesus holds the key to heaven. In Philippians chapter 2, the Bible says he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And wherefore God has highly exalted him and hath given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things on this earth. Consider his will toward doing the Father's will. Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to accomplish his work. That was his mission. One of these days you're going to leave this world. All the flowers at the funeral will fade. And the words, few of them will be remembered. And your life story will be rolled up like a scroll. May it be said of you that when you left this world, you were a servant. You were a servant. In John 8 and 29, for I do always, that's what Jesus said, the things that are pleasing unto him. And listen to John 9 and verse 4. We must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, for the night will come when no man can work. Don't you think it's time? Don't you? It was in the Summer Olympics of 1992. Some of you may remember them. It was the quarterfinals of the 400-meter sprint. The British athlete, his name was Derek Redmond. And he was the one that was so favored to win the gold medal for our country. A lifetime of training had brought him to this moment. The starter's gun fired, and the athletes burst out of the blocks. But halfway through the race, Derek was leading. He was out front. Then disaster struck, for he pulled a hamstring and he went and collapsed on the track. And the agony on his tear streaked his face, was both physical and mental, for he had torn that muscle. It was a crushing blow, and medical attendants actually had run out on the track to assist him. But Derek waved them all away. He came to race, he said, and he was going to finish. He got to his feet and started hobbling down the track. The crowd was mesmerized. Officials didn't know what to do. And then an older man ran out onto the track. He brushed off the officials who tried to stop him. He ran up to Derek and placed his arms around him. The man was Derek Redmond's father, Jim. And he kept saying, "Son, you don't have to do this. You don't have to do this." To which he replied, "Yes, I do." And the father said, "Then we'll finish this race together." Arm in arm, with agony on Derek's face, tears now streaming down his father's face, Derek and Jim continued down the track. Derek buried his face in his father's shoulder. His father's strong shoulders carried his son physically and emotionally. Jim waved off all of the officials who tried to stop them, but finally, accompanied by a now roaring crowd, standing to their feet and applauding, Derek Redmond crossed the line. And it became actually the defining moment of the Barcelona Olympics. You know, every day, God allows us to put our hands on the shoulders of Himself. And He carries us where we need to be. This morning, He wants you to place your shoulder on His. Wrap your arms around Him. Embrace Him. Because He is so good. I hope this morning, if you love God and you love Him with all of your heart, that you think it's time. Are you ready to follow Jesus and to be baptized for the remission of your sins? The Bible talks about the goodness of God over and over in the book of Lamentation, chapter 3. They're new every morning. And did you know that according to the book of Romans, chapter 2 and verse 4, the Bible says it is the goodness of God that leads you to repentance. Let it lead you this morning to become a child of God while we stand and while we sing.